Welcome to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Akar, joined as always by Nick Berger and Joe Berger. And today we are discussing some sleeper picks for this upcoming NHL season. Guys who we think are going to have big seasons who, you know, people might not really be talking about enough. So we're going to get into that, and we hope you enjoy. Let's get into it. So, sleeper picks. Let's start with the Pacific Division. Joe, who you got?
The person that I'm going to keep my eye on this coming season is,
Wait, hold on a second. Before you reveal your pick.
Okay, all right.
I just want everyone to know that we have given ourselves this assignment of picking our picks days in advance, and we're coming into this not knowing who we each picked. So these reactions are completely authentic. Go ahead.
Okay, so I do have
Pacific Division.
I do have my teal goggles on for this pick because I'm going to be able to watch him the whole year.
Okay.
Intently. Okay. I was going to be watching Timo Meier.
Timo Meier. Mm-hmm.
I like that pick a
I
whole
like
lot.
The pick.
Yeah,
I like that pick.
He had 3 goals in the prospects game.
Yeah, yeah. He had a good.
He's gonna be a star.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw it out there. He had a good rookie camp.
I'm sensing sarcasm to my right.
Strong indicator of success.
Man,
goal scoring in the prospect game. But anyway,
you'll see.
I don't want to diminish this pick.
I just liked his attitude coming out like literally out of the camp that the Sharks has had. He seemed determined to make the team, and in the game, even though it's against, you know, prospects, not NHLers, he put his money where his mouth is.
Okay, so you're going Timo Meier.
He should be a pretty good power forward.
I mean, he's been highly touted. I saw a few clips, and like I've seen a few videos of him, and he looks like, you know, just like eye test level, looks like a really good player.
Yeah, and
he looked better than like everyone.
Yeah.
What was it recently? It wasn't the Olympics. I think it was not
the World Juniors.
Yeah, it was World Juniors. He made his presence known.
Yeah.
He got kicked out of a game.
He might have played in the World Championship also.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But this is the World Juniors I'm thinking of. Like he rocked a kid.
Well, he's a big guy.
He's big. Like
he's got hands.
He has power forward written all over
him. Like he's the kind of player the Sharks could really use right now.
Just like an added threat.
Yeah. And depth on wing. Yeah.
It's always a good thing.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of their last like legit power forward, and is it Ryan Clough?
Yeah, probably.
Oof,
he was good.
No, he was actually really good.
Yeah,
and then it's just his career ended sort of tragically with those concussions.
No, it really did.
Yeah,
now
coaching, right? Isn't he
coaching with the Devils?
Yeah,
assistant coach. Yeah. So that's gonna be fun. It's good to see him still in the game.
Mm.
I thought he was an underrated passer. I just want to say.
Oh yeah,
that.
And he had a nice shootout move. Forehand backhand.
He had a couple of nice shootout moves.
And if he went to the boards with another player to get the puck, he was coming out with it every time.
Yeah, he was that prototypical like kind of power forward.
So what we're saying, Ryan Clough is our sleeper pick.
So Ryan Clough. Well, I mean, Timo Meier is going to be better than Ryan Clough.
Oh yeah, he's definitely more talented.
Ninth overall, I believe, in the 2015 draft.
That sounds right.
I believe so. We should get our statistician on that.
I think I'm absolutely right.
Do you think you're
myself.
Right? Do you trust yourself? All right, we're going to play this game.
So it might not be known to the audience, but when we talk about hockey off the air and we're trying to figure out what we're going to talk about on the show or just general banter, we play this game where anytime a point is brought up, like I just made, like thinking, okay, it was ninth overall 2015, then Nick will look it up on his phone and then I have to guess.
We all guess
or I have to say if I stand by my pick or not. So let's see. Am I right?
So, Felix, you said the
ninth overall pick in the 2015 NHL draft.
And Joe, do you think he's right?
And it was held in Buffalo. Oh, no, that was this year. In Florida. Sorry.
Ooh, man.
What a save. Glove save and a beauty.
Sort of.
Dude, you're so confident. You're so confident that our levels are going off the charts.
Okay, let's hear it.
I mean, ninth sounds right to me.
You're right. Yeah. It's ninth.
Was it held in Florida? Sunrise.
That was the.
I'm all in on this game.
He put on his jersey and down the glass Tropicana.
So that was the 2015 NHL draft.
Yep.
The 2015 NHL draft. I'm looking up on my phone.
I mean, it was held in Sunrise. Like I don't need this. I don't need to be validated by this game, but I still enjoy the validation.
All right. So as long as you got that right, let's push it a step further. Which arena was that?
It's the BB&T Center.
You're right.
All right.
You're right. That name is almost so forgettable that it's not forgettable.
That it's memorable.
It's, yeah.
I was about to say, you didn't give me a chance to guess wrong.
But what I hope won't be forgettable is your pick for the Pacific Division. Do you have a pick, sir?
I do.
Okay.
I'm picking Chris Tierney.
So let me get this straight.
More teal goggles.
More teal.
The two Sharks fans on this panel, it's not really a panel, whatever you want to call it.
It's a table.
Are picking, it's actually a very nice IKEA table. Anyway.
It served you well in college.
It served me very well. These two Sharks fans have picked Sharks players.
We did.
But I like this pick, so.
I feel good about it.
Explain yourself.
Chris Tierney, I'm not expecting monster numbers because when you look at San Jose's depth down the middle, Joe Thornton, Logan Couture, like Tierney's probably going to be the third line center at best, probably the fourth line center.
It all depends how they
use Marlowe.
How they decide, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big factor.
Yeah. I can see Marlowe, he's probably going to move up and down the lineup. But I think we'll probably, in a perfect world, see Tierney as the fourth line center.
Pavelski at 3C.
You know what? Let's not even joke about that.
That is a hashtag that has yet to die. But anyway.
Yeah.
I actually really like Chris Tierney. I think he's a really skilled player.
Mm-hmm. He's really good at making like finesse plays in tight areas. I think he's good with the puck.
I'm not sure if he's like a bona fide like top six forward.
Yeah, and
but I think he's definitely like that middle six.
Yeah, and that's what
perfect
I was
perfect fit. Yeah,
that's what I'm driving at. Is I'm not expecting him to break out for like 25 goals and like 30-40 assists, and whatever, but I think he's going to be...
He's a smart passer.
I think he's a really smart, clever passer.
Yeah.
He's creative. He improved a lot after he came back from the minors.
Yeah. And it's always a good sign when you see a player, like, visibly notice a player step up, like he did towards the end of the season in the playoffs.
It's funny you bring up Chris Tierney, because I remember when we went to a game back in December, we went to see Sharks against Coyotes at the SAP Center. And I remember, I think Marlowe scored, but on that goal, Tierney skated down the right wing and just put on the, like, slammed on the brakes at the top of the right circle and then just dished it off to Marlowe, who scored. I think it was Marlowe, but it was a really nice play. And I'm like, man, this guy's a third liner. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. When you have him on your third or more likely fourth line, you're doing things right. And it means that they're leaning more towards the kind of NHL that I want to see, which is a more skilled top-to-bottom lineup. Yeah. So I think he's not going to have like a crazy offensive season, but I think he's going to be good.
He'll
consistent.
Get noticed.
Yeah, good, consistent offensive producer. So I'm looking forward to him. He's gotten better and better every season. Played well in the playoffs, so I'm excited. I'm all in on Chris Tierney.
All right. Well, then.
Who you got? Who you got?
All right. I promised before the show, off the air, an off the rails pick. and now that I have to say it out loud, it really feels off the rails.
Is it Bull?
I can't wait.
I am picking Brandon Montour from the Anaheim Ducks, the 21-year-old defenseman who led the San Diego Gulls in the AHL last year in scoring with 12 goals, 45 assists in 68 games. Actually, he's now 22, but during the season he was 21. Led the team in scoring as a defenseman. That was his first full season in the NHL. And the reason why I'm picking him is because I'm getting this sinking feeling that Hampus Lindholm might get traded.
You're all in on that. Is it safe to say that you're the one driving the train on that rumor?
Well, yeah. I don't want to drive it. It's just I'm getting this feeling, and here's why.
First, everyone should know that Felix might be the biggest Hampus Lindholm fan.
Oh yeah. Everyone who follows hockey should be.
Everyone should be.
Yeah.
Dude, I like him. I love him.
Yeah.
Friend of
the show. Look, the only reason why I get this feeling they're going to trade him is A, because I've read reports back during the season following Eric Stevens at the Orange County Register that there was this sort of feeling out there that whoever got signed first between Vatanen or Lindholm was the one that was going to stay, and then the one after that was going to get traded. Because if you look at the Ducks' cap sheet, they have almost no cap, not enough cap room to sign both Raquel and Lindholm. And if you look at the money that comparable defensemen have gotten signed to this offseason, guys like Seth Jones, guys like Tyson Berry, they're making 5.5 and above.
Yeah.
Hampus Lindholm is better than those two guys that I just named. So if he's going to make at least 5.5, they have 9.27 in cap space, right? So assuming he makes 5.5 to 6, then that leaves just above 3.5 to 4 for Raquel.
Yeah.
Like, this math is very difficult for the Ducks.
That's a little snug.
It's tight fitting.
Yeah.
It's Under Armour.
Yeah. it's slim fit.
Under Armour math.
So, and then earlier in the summer, there was this rumor floated around, well, report by Darren Dreger that the Ducks and the Avalanche were talking about a Gabriel Landeskog Hampus Lindholm trade.
Really?
Like, that was on the table.
I missed that.
Now, I think that it was brought forward by the Avalanche.
Mm.
But at the same time, for it to even get to that point where that conversation happened and it was and then reported, that is very troubling. That worries me. It makes me worry if they truly understand the value of Hampus Lindholm. And look, they have plenty of great defensemen, but without Lindholm, it's just night and day.
I think that's the thing you just touched on, is as great as he is, and I think that they would be foolish to let him go, they have a lot of young talent on the back end. They probably feel like they have the luxury of...
But they don't, because he makes everyone better.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unquestionably, he makes everyone better. So yeah, that's why I'm picking Brandon Montour, because I feel like if Lindholm does get traded, I think that opens the door for Montour to get called up.
So who would you see him playing with?
Well, that's another question, but he would be playing, knowing how the Ducks have utilized their defensemen, it would change a lot. All I know is if in the NHL he would definitely be a sleeper and that no one would expect it. This probably won't even happen.
Oh.
Like, I don't think they're going to trade him, by the way. I feel like it's not a non-zero.
Yeah.
It is a non-zero possibility.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, it's like you're saying, when you look at the comparables and the money that he should be making.
Yeah. That math just does not add up.
In the words of Kevin Hart, like, someone's got to go.
Yeah. No. So Brandon Montour is my guy.
Good pick.
So I'm going to throw it back to Joe, and we're going to go to the Central now. Who you got?
Okay. In the Central, this pick isn't a true sleeper pick. It's more of an underrated pick.
It's like a napping pick.
Yes.
It's not like deep sleep.
Yeah. And I've got Brian Little.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay. Well, you know, I like that pick.
Yeah.
you came to the right podcast. You came to the right garage with that pick.
Yeah. He's a player who is reliable in any situation on the ice. Power play, PK, yeah. Offensive zone, defensive zone, good centerman. And, you know, we're going to see a resurgence. We're all agreed that we're going to see a resurgence in. We're going to see.
Here come the Jets.
Yeah, we're going to see Winnipeg stop sleeping.
Yes.
Bad joke. So
you can show yourself out now.
Yeah. Door slams. and currently, these lines are not official. No. But
according to our friends.
Yeah, our friends at the Daily Faceoff, they currently have him as the center for Line A.
Yeah.
So yeah,
fireworks.
Yeah. You could see, like,
he'll benefit from that.
Yeah. Winnipeg's roster is a little more well rounded with him, with Line A in there.
Yeah.
And I think you're gonna really see the centerman, but I think particularly Little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Line
A opens everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had another pick there, but I'm not gonna. I was going to mention something, but in case one of you guys have him.
Okay. Keep it close to your chest.
Yeah.
Right. I do want to say about him, Little and Wheeler, is I knew they were good just from looking at the numbers, but they don't get a whole lot of national airtime.
They really,
but
like that is definitely, it plays into the sleeper thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So
no one talks about Winnipeg.
Yeah. So when they played San Jose last season, I was afraid when they were on the ice.
Nobody even knows where Winnipeg is on a map.
Yeah, I mean,
like, most people you would ask, like, in the United States, could probably not point to where.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I can give a general area, but
the big problem?
North.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be yeah
that way.
Canada.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. But Little did get injured, you know, quite spectacularly in February. So his season was cut short.
Yeah.
You know, I believe it was a neck injury. He got flattened.
Oh. Like, yeah, I remember that.
I can't remember who hit him. Someone stepped up on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he was sort of hunched over, and he was hunched over for a while reaching for a puck, and the guy decided to step up on him anyway.
Yeah.
And I think he, like, fractured some vertebrae.
Shoot, I forget what that was. But you know what I love about Brian Little?
What?
He plays big.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I had to.
You know what? You can show yourself out.
The low-hanging fruit and, of hockey names.
Welcome back to the podcast where Nick is the only one left in the garage. Don't worry. The dad jokes, they're coming.
Okay. So you're all in on Brian Little.
Yeah.
And I agree. I'm all in on Winnipeg. But that was made clear in episode 2. So Nick, Central.
I've got some California love for Cal Yarncroc.
Hey man, you tried.
I'm embarrassed. I regret that moment.
You can show yourself out now. Yeah, and now no one's here. Goodbye.
That'll do it for the podcast.
So you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Okay. All right. But seriously.
Cali.
Let's just call him Cali.
Yeah.
Just for fun, even though it's probably like sort of insulting.
I'm gonna call him Yarny.
Okay.
Cal Yarncroc. Signed a very friendly contract last month with the Nashville Predators, 6 years, 12 mil. He scored 16 goals last season at age 23, 24. He can play center. He can play either of the wings, so he's very versatile. I was reading that Peter Laviolette expects him to be in their top six this coming season.
He's making $2 million until 2022, and he expects to be in the top six. Oh my God.
That's a great contract.
Great contract for a young guy. He had 7 goals 2 years ago, 16 this past season, so he's trending up.
Yeah.
He's like just now entering his prime. He makes Nashville that much deeper.
Yeah.
I'm looking out for him.
Okay.
I'm excited about him.
So so far we got Brian Little, Cali Love. Yarncroc.
California love. Right.
Someone had to do it.
And then, okay, so my pick, and this really shouldn't be a sleeper, but for whatever reason it is, so I'm going to set the record straight. Brian Campbell.
I thought about him, yeah.
That's fair.
But see, the thing is, like, there's the surface level stuff of like, yes, he's a great defenseman, has been for a long time. Now he's on a team on a friendly deal, on a really good team. And
a team that needs him
to. He's not going to have to carry the same burden that he did in Florida. But when you really think, like, the thing is, that sort of undersells how good he was in Florida. He carried Aaron Ekblad. It wasn't Ekblad reviving Campbell's career, which I think some people might think that. If you look at the possession numbers, Campbell does far better away from Ekblad than Ekblad does away from Campbell.
Really?
When Ekblad isn't playing with Campbell, his numbers crater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And, I mean, is that surprising? I mean, Ekblad came in as an 18-year-old.
Is that a PK Subban, Andre Markov situation?
In reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we know how often they were apart?
Oh, they were, like, in the 3 years that they played together, they were there, like, they basically almost exclusively played together.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Brian Campbell is still really, really good.
He's still a really good skater.
He's still a fantastic skater, one of the best first passes in the NHL.
You can still put him on the second power play unit.
Yeah, and so now on a team with a more sort of offensively, you know, driven system, I think that he's really going to thrive. And just the fact that he's not going to have to lug around Aaron Ekblad, he's going to play on, you know, probably the second or third pairing.
Mm.
Well, actually probably second in Chicago, but he's... Yeah. He's going to do a lot for that team, and I'm excited to see that. I'm glad they got him back.
That was a good ad. I think we're all agreed at this table that they're still pretty thin defensively.
They are, but he...
Until that signing.
He makes them considerably better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think it's sort of been underplayed how much better they are with him on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm all in on Brian Campbell.
Yeah. That decor looks a lot better with him in there, because now they've got, it's Campbell, Keith, Seabrook, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Hjalmarsson.
Yeah. No, that's respectable.
Yeah, that,
because Hjalmarsson is a great defensive defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great defenseman.
Probably going to be playing with Campbell, right?
Keith is still one of the best defensemen in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not top three anymore, if he ever was, but definitely, like, top seven.
Yes.
Like, just throwing a number out there.
No. But, like, if you really broke it down, I think he would be, like, in that.
Yeah.
But either way, he's one of the best. Brett Seabrook is still a very good top four defenseman. Like, yeah, you know, top two pairings, meaning. And then, yeah, I think Campbell really just pushes them forward. Because, I mean, outside of Keith, they don't really have a guy to create, you know, to sort of make those creative plays in the offensive zone, on the power play.
Yeah.
And in the neutral zone. We know Campbell's certainly capable of that. You know, the spinoramas.
Yeah, and because without him in that decor, then you're looking at Victor Svedberg.
Yeah.
Who's very big, but very young and struggled at times last season. They gave him a look, and he had his troubles. And also Erik Gustafsson, so yeah. I'll take Brian Campbell.
And I know that in the last episode, I picked Chicago to disappoint next season. I still stand by that. But if the success they're going to have next season, a lot of that is going to have to do with Brian Campbell and his contributions on the back end.
I agree.
Because they didn't really, they didn't have that last season.
Yeah.
Just that sort of secondary playmaking option from the back end.
I think that add to their lineup is going to fly under the radar just because Campbell is,
he's
on the back nine his career. But
he might struggle because he is older. Maybe it'll finally show, but
maybe
everything seems to indicate, all the stats seem to indicate that it probably isn't going to happen for another couple of years.
Yeah, it was certainly worth making that move, I think, and finding out.
It seems like really good puck-moving defensemen are able to play further along in their careers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Nicklas Lidström.
Yeah.
I don't know if this totally counts, but like Chris Chelios, he probably could have called it in a little earlier.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Atlanta thing didn't need to happen.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. And then I guess to stay in that vein, like Matthew Schneider played until he was really old.
Yeah.
Even Andrei Markov, you know, like I know he's been sort of on the downturn now, but he's like 39.
Yeah.
38, 39, so.
Kind of impressive that he's pushing 40 and he's is still maybe the healthiest that he's ever been.
And he's doing really good things when he's out there, especially on the power play.
Mm.
Still got great vision, so yeah.
Veteran guy, great guy.
Just a good guy.
Yeah. Friend of the show.
Yeah.
And very quickly, I'd like to wrap up that loose hanging thread that I left in Winnipeg. My honorable mention there was Matthew Perreault. He had 41 points last year, but he only had 9 goals, 6 on the power play. His shooting percentage was 6.8%.
That's going to go up.
Which is down from a career 14%. So yeah, 9 goals, 6.8%. Yeah, he's going to rebound.
Man, he'd look real nice on the Ducks, wouldn't he?
and he had 41 points last year.
Don't go there.
And with a 6.8 shooting percentage. So yeah, he's going to rebound.
He might score 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could. Maybe like 18. Hmm. Okay, so I think that wraps it up for the Western Conference. Now let's go out east. Let's start with the Metropolitan Division.
Let's do it.
Joe, who is your pick?
The guy I'm really looking at, partly because I had him 2 years ago when he was on fire in fantasy.
On fantasy, yeah.
Is Brock Nelson. Because they're really the Islanders are really trying to, you know, they see a potential for him. And they really want him to get there. They want him to be a solid top six forward and a solid centerman behind John Tavares. And, you know, they got a little thinner losing Franz Nielsen and Kyle Okposo.
Yeah, but that could be a good thing for him.
Yeah, opportunity. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he scored more goals last year. He got 26 compared to his rookie year when he had 20. And he was setting the first 2 or 3 months of the season on fire.
Yeah.
So the talent's definitely there. You know, he's seemed a little hesitant at times, you know, playing. And if he can put it all together and really step into that second centerman role, you're really going to see him perform.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, people are forgetting that the Islanders signed P.A. Parenteau.
Yeah.
Who is, like, not... It's so baffling that teams don't seem to like value P.A. Parenteau. He changes teams way more often than a player of his talent level should.
Yeah, like he, you would think he would find a fit somewhere. Like he
runs into bad coaches. That's really what happened.
That is true.
Like in the span of what, 3-4 years, he played for both Michel Therrien and Patrick Roy.
That's
like
rough.
If you're a skilled player, that is a bad recipe for success.
Yeah, that is rough.
Yeah, but now in, you know, well, I guess I was gonna say on Long Island, but I guess in Brooklyn, yeah. Although they're trying to get out of that, yeah, apparently.
Thankfully.
Yeah, that Barclays Center.
It's not suited for
it's
hockey.
It's dark. The seating arrangement is weird. What's up with that car? Does anyone know?
It just doesn't look like a fun experience. Like, yeah. Just as a fan. Like, I'm sure it's a nice... It seems like a beautiful building.
Yeah.
But from a fan's perspective, it doesn't seem like a fan-friendly atmosphere.
Yeah. It just from what I've seen on TV, it's not very aesthetically pleasing. Like, it's kind of dark in there. And...
I mean, I don't really miss the Nassau Veterans Memorial...
Coliseum.
Nassau Coliseum.
Nobody misses it.
But, you know, at the same... They just... I mean, there has to be a way they can make it work in Barclays. It's such a good spot. Yeah. I mean, it's a premier arena. And anyway, not to veer too off track. So, yeah, I agree with your pick. Brock Nelson, I like the player. And
He's only 24.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pia Parenteau could definitely have a role in that.
Yeah. It's too bad Parenteau is like... Is he like 33 now?
He might be, but I still think he has a lot of good hockey left.
Yeah.
Let me amend that. Sorry, he scored 14 goals his rookie year.
Okay.
That's a good rookie year.
What did you say?
I said 20. I was looking at his second year.
Okay.
Yeah.
14 is basically 20. Except it's not. But yeah.
So he's another one that's been trending up every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good pick. I like it.
Okay. So then that brings us to you, Nick.
I've got Adam Henrique. Adam Henrique. And this is another one that's more of a, like...
Okay.
Like, like dozing off in class, like, half-paying attention. But
it's not a REM sleep.
Wait, what was the homework again?
Yeah. Like, this is not in a coma.
It's more like drooling on your homework sleeper.
Mean, like,
okay.
I'm going to be honest. I kind of phoned this one in because I had so much trouble. Like, I had so much trouble.
You don't back check.
I didn't back check.
You're Alex Ovechkin circa 2009. Yeah,
I'm not stopping.
I don't actually mean that, by the way.
I'm not stopping and starting. I'm doing big circles. But
aircraft carrier circles?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. No, I had trouble with this one.
Why?
Like, I mean, I was looking up and down that division and all the teams, and just there weren't any names where I was like, you know what? This guy, people are not talking about him, and they should be.
Oh, then my pick is going to piss you off then.
Really?
But anyway.
I mean, Adam Henrique, I mean, kind of think about it.
How much of this has to do with Taylor Hall?
I mean, well, when I was talking to Joe about it earlier, that kind of tipped the scales.
Oh, so you two colluded with these picks.
You know what?
That's unfair.
You know what? I'm a double agent. I didn't tell you.
You want a recount? You want to appeal to the Supreme Court?
I want a draft pick in compensation.
Oh, you know what? I'll have my agent talk to your agent.
Or like a cap penalty against you guys.
Can we review this on the small iPad?
We went onto a radio show and said, no, it's a stud pick.
You know what? It's almost not even worth mentioning.
Wait, what is that referring to?
I was mixing references there. I was mixing Edmonton and Vancouver together.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
Adam Henrique.
This is almost like a non-pick. He had 30 goals last year.
Why don't we call him Henrique the Freak? Or like the...
you know what? Tim Lincecum already kind of...
When did he get back in his garage?
Tim Lincecum doesn't matter. Oh,
God. But we love him.
We do.
We love him.
Yeah.
Hey.
We loved him.
No. Giants don't... Like, Giants fans always love.
Okay.
I
don't know how you do it in Montreal. But in San Francisco, which we are not in.
With Tim Lincecum, we just needed to see different people, but it didn't mean that we won't always have feelings for each other.
Wow. That was deep.
I believe you, Felix, are the one that said that love is a strong word that should only be used when truly felt.
Okay.
And it's truly felt.
But...
I also love Adam Henrique.
I'm hearing... Yeah, this, like, I want to hear the actual justification for Adam Henrique.
Hold on a second. I actually have a case against Adam Henrique.
Wait, but I want to hear the case for first.
We can edit this part out.
We haven't actually heard... No, this is great. I want to hear the actual case.
He scored 30 goals last year, which is fantastic.
But as a sleeper
pick? Well, I mean, everyone's talking about Taylor Hall and how he's going to be, like, driving the boat on that team.
I mean, the first line was driving the boat on that team last year. That's why he got 30.
Yeah. You know what? There's no good argument for this. I could not find... Dude, I didn't want to talk about Connor Sheary.
Connor?
One N. Dude, I didn't even feel good about that pick. I don't feel good about any pick.
All right.
In the Metro.
Well,
so
I'm going to come in and save the Metro.
I wish you would.
Andre Burakovsky.
Is he really a sleeper pick, though?
He is a sleeper for a couple reasons.
He's overshadowed on that team.
He's definitely overshadowed by Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, more specifically. But, you know, like...
So while you tear me down, I'm going to build myself back up.
Go ahead and try.
So first...
Can you build up Adam Henrique also, while you're at it?
Well, he scored 30 last year. Yeah. There's not much to build.
He had a 20%... he shot 20%.
Henrique?
The thing that was so frustrating...
Troubling.
...is that he's much better, much more productive when he plays center, and they didn't figure that out until last season. And, oh, look, he scored 30 goals. Meanwhile, when they were messing around putting him on the wing the season before and he couldn't find any consistency, except for when he played center, you know, I'm so
gotta
angry.
John Hines. Yeah. Anyway, so to come back to Andre Burakovsky, who deserves way more love right now than Adam Henrique. First off, just a really good player when you watch him play. Like, he's really smooth on his skates, quick hands, good vision. I feel like when you watch him play, it's like you're watching like a hockey, like instructional DVD mm-hmm. of like how to, you know, how to maneuver the puck, how to skate around the ice. So just eye test level, really good player. But the numbers are what really stood out to me when I was researching, which I spent a lot of time on, by the way.
If
you look at the points per 60 at even strength, here's a few guys who he outscored, right? Jordan Eberle, Corey Perry, James Neal, and I threw this one in just for the name recognition, Daniel Sedin. But Burakovsky only played 13 minutes a game last year.
Wow. Really?
Yes. If he plays in that top six consistently, if he gets 15, 16, 17 minutes a game, he's going to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
I'm not like 80 or 90, but like between 60 and 70 is definitely reasonable to expect.
I mean, a 21-year-old with 17 goals? Like...
Yeah, playing almost no minutes. And he barely played in the playoffs. He played less than 13 minutes in the playoffs.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, that's just bad coaching.
Sorry,
Barry.
Where do you see him fitting in the lineup if they're going to optimize him that way?
I think he's going to play on the second line.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who gets the boot from that line?
That's the thing is, according to Daily Faceoff right now, he's slotted as the second line left winger.
Hmm.
Now, that's not how they've used him typically.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But that's where he would fit.
He looks good there with Backstrom and Johansson.
Yeah.
Definitely better than Tom Wilson will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Tom Wilson's a pain in the butt.
I don't like that fourth line.
Yeah. I don't like them either. I don't think they're good. But yeah, so Burakovsky, man, given the opportunity, all signs point to him being a really big-time producer.
It is worth noting that the line combinations we are looking at right now has Kuznetsov as the top center and Backstrom as the second center, not with Ovechkin.
Well, they've done that before.
They have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all that to say that I think Burakovsky I think he does have a bit of the name recognition, but not yet as like a household name. And I think that's where he could end up at the end of next season.
I like that pick.
Burakovsky.
He's very much overshadowed by Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie.
And that's the thing is people forget just how young he actually is. He's only 21.
I forgot that he was 21.
And at 21 years old, to be scoring at that rate, playing only 13 minutes a game, that's really impressive. Now, there's the argument to be made for, well, what kind of lines is he matching up against? Stuff like that. But still, I think he has a ton of potential.
I agree.
I think he's legitimately a sleeper pick. Deep sleep. Deep sleep.
I came up with an argument for Adam Henrique as a sleeper.
Oh, how nice of you.
And we're back.
The last tweet about him was 3 days ago, so no one's talking about him lately.
You know, that is actually kind of pathetic.
Sleeper.
Okay. Well, okay.
No. Hashtag sleeper.
I don't even know how to react to this, really.
Can everyone taste the sarcasm?
You know, this is two podcasts in a row where you've given us lukewarm picks. I just want to point that out.
Oh, man.
I'm putting you on blast.
You're on the hot seat.
You know what?
The lukewarm Philly pick.
Oh,
I don't even remember what that pick was about, and I've listened to that episode.
Hey, Shea Weber's a top pair defenseman.
Did I pick them to get into the playoffs?
You said that...
To surprise.
You said they could do both.
Yeah, so, I said that they could surprise in a good way and disappoint.
And then you said it wasn't lukewarm, and then that's what you said. And then I was like, well, that's basically what lukewarm means.
Did I deny it? I don't think I denied it.
All I'm trying to say is... You're not coming at us with fire.
You're putting words in my mouth, and I don't appreciate it.
You hate America.
You know what? I need someone to. You know what? It's going to help me spit hot fire. I'm about to spit hot fire, but it's not my turn. It's okay. Not my turn.
Okay. All right.
I can't wait for this moment.
The Prince of Canada speaks.
Okay, so Joe. Wait, did you make your Metro pick?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you said...
Brock Nelson.
Brock Nelson. Okay. So now that we've discussed the Metro, let's get into the Atlantic. Joe, who you got?
I've got someone I mentioned in passing earlier when talking about Brock Nelson. My pick for the Atlantic is Franz Nielsen.
Why?
Because, as we all know, Pavel Datsyuk took his sticks home to Russia with him.
Well, to Arizona.
Semantics. So he's gonna be that second line center.
It's a great retirement destination.
Yeah, Russia. Second line center in Detroit behind Dylan Larkin, and you know there's gonna be a lot of opportunity for him.
Yeah,
you know,
he's still really good.
Yeah, he was solid in New York, playing behind John Tavares, and then with the absence of Datsyuk now, you know he's sort of. Datsyuk and Richardson.
He's the man.
Richards.
Richards retired.
Yeah. You know, so there's a big gap at center in Detroit that he fills at least partly. You know, they probably still get a little bit deeper, but you'll see him score, you know, he's usually 20 goals, 30 assists player. So I think you're not going to look for him to do anything outrageous. You know, like you're not going to see him score over 35.
Mm.
But you know you're going to see him get plenty of opportunity.
So you think people aren't expecting him to do that?
No, I mean, I'm approaching this from more of a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, someone who I'm looking at sleeper picks as in someone that taken in the later rounds who's going to put up, you know, maybe upper round numbers, not necessarily first, second round.
It's sort of like value. It's like points. Yeah, points in relation to pick.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I agree with your pick, and I think Detroit is at least interesting. Like, the roster that they've cobbled together, I think cobbled is the only way you can put it. The roster they've cobbled together has potential. Franz Nielsen, like you said, is an interesting player. Even Thomas Vanek, who has struggled the last few seasons, on that team with the skill they have, could be interesting.
Talk about a comatose pick. Like,
yeah. Well, I don't know. I just, like, Detroit is so... They have some interesting pieces, but I don't know. I don't really know what to make of them yet.
They're in flux.
Yeah.
I don't like that D at all, defense.
That's really... Because I actually really like their forward group, but their defense is just not... I don't know.
Yeah, their forwards are growing on me.
Oh, yeah. So, who's your pick, then?
I've got Andreas Athanasiou.
Okay.
And I think after some of the skills that he displayed at the end of the season and in the playoffs...
A lot of skills.
I don't think it's... really going to surprise anyone if he has a phenomenal breakout season. And I think that this guy is actually legitimately due for a breakout season very soon.
Just a matter of getting the ice time.
But
that's really all it is.
But and that's why I think this is a sleeper pick. Not to anyone, like any fans. I think that's a sleeper pick to Jeff Blashill, who doesn't seem to know that he should be playing him way more. Way, way more.
Yeah. Jeff, if you're listening, which... would be awesome. Please be listening. someone send this his way. If you're listening, play Athanasiou a little bit more.
Play him a little more.
Just a little.
Well, did he play under 10 minutes last season?
I think he played like 7 minutes a game, 7-8 minutes a game.
In 37 games, he played like 300 minutes of even strength play.
Mm.
So it's not a lot.
He still had what, 9 goals?
Yeah, yeah. He still had 2.38 points per 60.
9 goals and... 9 minutes and 1 second of average ice time.
Yeah, and with that team, like, they have a pretty decent forward group, but, like, not so good that there wasn't room for him to make more contributions.
It's a little confusing why he wasn't playing more.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you look at the way Detroit was structured last year, very veteran-laden up front, and I think it just might be a case of, well, even if the young guy is better, for whatever reason, the coach wants to see the veteran succeed. It happens in a lot of teams where veterans get opportunities before young players.
Danny Heatley.
Yes. Danny Heatley. Ryan Kesler over Ricard Raquel. Kesler played more minutes than Raquel last season. You know Kesler was playing 20 minutes a game in the playoffs?
Really?
That's
not surprising the way...
that's not...
The way teams look to match up lines.
Yeah, but...
That's a lot.
Those aren't great minutes.
No.
Yeah. So you have Athanasiou.
I do.
And I have Athanasiou as well.
All right. I feel good about that.
And I'm just going to echo your pick. I think he was grossly underplayed by Blashill.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if that's going to change, but just by sheer virtue of him playing a full season in the NHL, I think that will, at least the scoring will go up, and I think people will notice him. Because, man, he's got this unreal just stick-handling ability, especially for a guy his size. So when he goes forehand, backhand, you know, the puck goes post to post. The goalie just can't reach it.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 200, with quick hands.
Quick hands, a great stride, a great shot.
Mm.
And it seems like really good instincts, just really understands the game.
Yeah.
So, and the numbers reflect it.
Yeah.
He piled on the points in the minutes that he did get. Yeah.
He really knows how to manipulate defenders by stick handling.
Yeah. So I like Athanasiou. And I guess... If we're going to go truly sleeper, you know, because I think Athanasiou, people at least know about him.
Yeah.
But staying at the Atlantic Division, I actually really like Nathan Beaulieu on the Canadiens.
And he was the other one that I was going to pick,
I've been talking
too.
About him a lot. Ever since he got drafted, I just really like his game. But I think next season with Subban gone, he's going to get a much longer look from Therrien. He's going to play more important minutes. And I think he's still growing into his game.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if anyone... who is listening, who watches the Canadiens consistently, notice this, but on the power play, Beaulieu has this weird tendency of always doing a fake slap shot.
Mm.
Like, every time. It's like, you know, if you never actually shoot on the first try, no one's going to fall for the fake.
No. Right.
And if your shot isn't Shea Weber levels, PK Subban levels, whatever it may be, I don't know if anyone really cares if you're faking anyway.
And like you said, if you're never shooting it,
yeah,
you know, you're only faking it. You know, it's not like faking forehand, going backhand. You know, if the goalie doesn't bite, you can always just keep going forehand. Yeah. You know, with a fake slap shot, you're faking shooting it, or you're not going to shoot it.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't, like, if people know you're going to do it, it does not help.
But with Beaulieu, I think that might be a sign of him just overthinking things a little bit. But he's definitely got it. Like, what I like most about him is just his patience with the puck. I love that when he's breaking the puck out, he never seems to get bothered by a forechecker. He's really good at shaking them off. And I think next season he might have to play with Markov, might even play with Weber, which would be really interesting. He would probably be in that sort of Roman Josi role where he's going to be doing the, you know, most of the breaking out with the puck, skating it out, passing it out, because Weber doesn't really do much of that, or at least didn't in Nashville. So I don't know if he's going to produce like a standard, you know, sleeper pick would, where he's going to pile on the points, people are going to notice him, but I think he's going to gain respect in circles, you know, people who really pay attention, because he's going to play a lot more minutes.
You're going to see him grow as a player and become a relied upon defenseman.
Exactly.
They're going to need that without Subban.
They're going to need that because they're going to, like, right now, they don't really have a true number one defenseman.
Right.
And so it's going to have to be by committee. And I think Petrie, although I love Petrie, I think he's an outstanding defenseman. I don't know if he's really cut out for that number one role. Because that's what he had in Edmonton, and it didn't really work out quite as well as you would expect.
Right.
He's more of like a 1A, right, where he's really good, but not like a Doughty, Subban, Carlson type.
Yeah.
Right? So Beaulieu could be that, you know, 1B.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we're going to see from him.
Now, young guy, too.
Yeah, young guy. But again, it kind of hinges on the coaching. You never know with these types of coaches.
That is a wild card.
How they're going to... No, but even like with Blashill, right? Like, there's always this bias against younger players.
Yeah.
Even though, like, sometimes it's not really that valid.
I don't know if there's just, like, a trust level, or if it has to do with dollars, like having to pay or having to play the guys that are making more money. I don't know. there are discussions that go on about these. I'm sure that we
I just think the coaches want to make the veterans happy.
Maybe.
Because they're the guys with, you know, the sort of like loudest voices in the room.
Right.
They're the leaders on the team. There's just sort of this assumption that the veterans should be playing more.
Mm.
At least with some coaches. Not all coaches, right? Like in Anaheim, you know, with Boudreaux, you saw, you know, the Ducks had a really young blue line. And they did have some veterans, though, but still, like, guys like Lindholm, who's only 22, right? Playing on the first pairing night after night. Josh Manson, called up from the AHL, playing on the first pairing the rest of the way. Like, that is a more of a progressive approach, but in general, I think you still see young players sort of get the short end of the stick.
Yeah. It's puzzling. I don't know.
I mean, hockey's an old boys club.
Yeah.
You know, top to bottom.
It's slowly getting away from that, as we're seeing with some of the GMs that are getting hired.
Yeah. So I feel good about the Athens-CU pick, and I think Bolio will be a more of a, like we were saying, a relied upon player.
Yeah, there's that void there. It's open for him.
There is that void. Can we think of anyone else in the Atlantic?
Honestly, I was trying to think of a goaltender. Because, you know,
goaltender.
Yeah. Just,
do you actually have someone in mind?
Or? No, I don't.
Okay.
You know, like that's what I want, because there's always someone every year that, you know, goalie that surprises, like Louis Domingue, and then
Andrew Hammond.
Oh, Mrazek. So I guess this would be a good segue. Who are guys that you were gonna say or wanted to say but didn't make the cut? Give me one name each, or maybe one or two.
Actually, I already sort of gave one in Matthew Perreault earlier.
I had Mikhail Grigorenko in the Central.
Okay.
I think he just needs to find some consistency, because, I mean, he was a high draft pick, did pretty well in the queue back in 2012-2013, mm-hmm. But didn't really seem to fit in with Buffalo. Wasn't really a great situation to fit into when he was there. They're like just now.
They weren't trying to be good.
Yeah, they weren't trying to be good. But he's on Colorado.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about Duchesne and Landeskog and MacKinnon and Barry.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with some consistency, he makes that top six look a lot nicer.
Yeah. And I think there might have been some ill feelings between Grigorenko and the actual Buffalo like organization, because he was one of those guys who was called up from or started the season on the team coming out of junior. And he right before that 9-game limit, they sent him back to junior.
Right.
And, you know, that can be a tough blow for a young player.
Yeah, we've seen that rub people the wrong way, for sure.
Yeah. You know who might be a sleeper pick?
Who?
Like, on Colorado. I mean, like, I don't know if Nathan MacKinnon would count, but last year, he didn't really have a big year last year.
No.
Only scored 21 goals. And a player that talented should be scoring, like, at least 30.
Oh, yeah.
He's sophomore slumped pretty hard.
Next year, he could be a little undervalued, like, you know, in fantasy circles and just sort of people like thinking about talented players in the Central Division. I could see 30 goals for him next year.
I could too.
Yeah.
The guy that I'm really gonna be rooting for, I've been a fan of his since I saw his interview after he got drafted, and I hope does really well, is Noah Hanifin.
Mm.
Like the reason why I didn't mention him or pick him is because, you know, he plays behind, you know, Justin Falk.
Yeah.
So he is gonna be overshadowed. And, you know, he played well last season.
Not by much, though. I mean, no. Falk is good, but isn't that top tier of defenseman.
Yeah, and Hanifin had four goals, 18 assists, 7 power play points.
Yeah.
So he's coming up to be the guy on that team. So we'll see what kind of strides he makes this season.
Okay. Only 19.
I like the Noah Hanifin pick.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
Future captain, Noah Hanifin.
Wait, is he American?
He was born in Massachusetts, Boston.
Born in 1997. Oh, my God. I feel so bad about myself. I've made awful life choices up to this point.
Okay.
Not the least of which was picking Adam Henrik as a sweeper.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I don't feel good about
it. Yeah, I guess for my guy who didn't really make the cut, who I was sort of thinking about, was Ivan Provorov.
I thought about him, too.
In Philly, just because, you know, a lot of talent, high draft pick. Might get the opportunity.
Yeah, hasn't played yet.
But I wasn't totally sure where he's going to end up next year.
Yeah, same here.
In what capacity. Yeah.
Man, with the numbers that he's put up, like leading up to this point, it's hard to believe
absolutely.
That he wouldn't get a look.
Yeah.
Especially on that team. They
need it.
They need it. They need him.
Your lukewarm Philly pick.
My lukewarm Philly pick.
Could be not so lukewarm if Ivan Provorov was on the team.
Yeah, I mean, hey. They will pleasantly surprise with him. They will disappoint without.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And with that.
On that note, I think we should probably end the show.
So, guys, that just about wraps it up for this episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, we hope that you will subscribe to us on iTunes. Yes, we are finally on iTunes. After a lot of work and preparation, we are now on iTunes and Stitcher. Please go follow us on there. Subscribe. We hope that you'll help out with a rate and review because it helps the show a lot. You can also follow us on Facebook. We now have a Facebook page. Check us out on there. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.